Hello, everybody. Please allow myself to introduce myself. I'm your host, Captain Marvelous, and welcome to I'm Batman, the podcast, the show where I chronologically review each episode of the 1992 Batman the Animated Series. Now, I've been doing Ninja Turtle movie reviews for the past month on Gotham Goes Hollywood Turtles Month, so give those a listen if you haven't already. Alright, let's dance the dance. They dance in France. Let's get to it. This week's episode is titled Paging the Crime Doctor, original air date September 17th, 1993. Title card is a picture of a doctor holding a needle, and holy hell, it's creepy. And if I didn't know any better, I would say that this was a painting of the cover for the 1992 horror cult classic Dr. Giggles. And oh man, if you have not seen or heard of Dr. Giggles, after this review is over, go find it and watch it. It is a laugh riot. It's a horror movie, but it's pretty hilarious. We start off with some sort of armored vehicle being attacked by an ambulance. There's three thugs inside the ambulance. They shoot out the tires of the armored truck. Then they toss a smoke bomb into the car. Now, I don't know much about smoke bombs, but I'm sure one going off in your face isn't good. The armored truck has a nasty crash, which I'm sure the driver and passenger died from, because it looked really bad, like it flipped over and everything, and we never see them again. Or even hear them, like, moan like they do in these cartoons. Like, usually you'll hear sounds like, oh, they survived. The three thugs, two who look like generic, just gangsters, except one is Chunky. I think that's his name, Chunks. And the other one's, like, kind of skinny. And then there's a third one that looks like a sea captain. And, well, they put on the surgical mask, and they grab a box from the back of the truck. They take off, and we see Batman running on the bridge towards them. He jumps on the roof of their car, and he shoots his grappling hook through the car for some reason. So now Batman is just there on the roof with his grapple like if he was water skiing. A Sea Captain Thug begins shooting his machine gun to the roof, and Batman jumps off while holding onto the grapple, so now he's like floating in the back like a kite. Batman jumps ahead of the ambulance and they try to run him over. Batman jumps on the front windshield and blocks their view with his cape. So instead of hitting the brakes for some reason, the thug keeps on driving. He's like, oh, I can't see! And then he smacks into the side of the bridge. Batman starts beating the crap out of the sea captain when the skinny thug picks up what was inside the box. And it's a surgical laser gun. It's not sure that's a real thing. Maybe it is. I don't know. I'm not a doctor. Oh, it's true. It's true. Batman gets shot in the head with the laser. And the sea captain throws Batman off the bridge. So the thugs stand around for a bit and they think they've killed Batman. But we see Batman's body landed on top of a hanging trolley, and he survived. Of course, the thugs leave before the trolley passes by them, so they don't see this. We cut to this doctor and a patient who looks to also be a criminal, and he's happy because his surgery to remove his fingerprints has been successful. I guess that's a thing. At this moment, Rupert Thorne, mafia boss, walks in, and we learn that the three thugs who stole that laser work for him. The doctor doesn't seem to be afraid of Thorne and seems to be very angry at him, like antagonistic. Thorne tells him that he got him a gift for his doctor brother, the crime doctor. Alright, the exposition isn't that clunky, but it's still kind of bad, especially for this show, because I always praise that first episode on how they introduce Red Claw without having somebody walk into the room and be like, oh, it's you, Red Claw, master of crime. No, they just introduce her, like she just shows up and people know it's her, and you know it's her. But here it's like, oh, my brother, the crime doctor of me, mafia boss, Rupert Thorne, head of the underworld. Anyways, the brother isn't impressed, and we learn their backstory.
After all these years, still such contempt.
Now, why would I have contempt for the man who made me what I am today?
How would I know? I'm the fool who keeps giving you everything you want, even though you act like an ungrateful punk.
What I want is to be a real doctor, Rupert, with a respectable practice.
Is it my fault you lost your license?
I would have reported that bullet to the police, as I was supposed to. But no, you insisted.
You knew what I turned into before you took that slug out of me, Matthew.
So for that, I get to spend the rest of my life like this?
So Thorne and his brother argue, and then Thorne falls to the floor, seemingly from a heart attack. We cut to a poor neighborhood where we see Dr. Leslie Tompkins attending a Hispanic lady and her kid. We know they're poor because they speak Spanish. They leave and Batman shows up. And those gunshots you hear are just fireworks, as I'm recording this on the 4th of July. No, they're gunshots from the thugs, and Batman's gonna stop by very soon to stop them. That's what I should have said. I'm not editing anything, I'm leaving it all in. Anyways, Batman shows up, and Batman collapses on the floor this time. Dr. Tompkins checks Bruce and tells him that he has a minor concussion, probably from falling off a bridge. So, dude, this guy's like made of rock. He got shot in the head with a laser and fell off a bridge and only has a minor concussion. Dr. Tompkins gives him some pills to take every 4 hours, and that's that. Dr. Tompkins, and I keep calling her Dr. Tompkins and not Leslie because she didn't go to 4 years of medical school to be called Leslie, thank you very much. She brings up Bruce's father and how he always spoke about Bruce being stubborn because no one ever remembers that Bruce Wayne also had a mother. We go back to the crime doctor, and he is telling Rupert Thorne that he has a tumor in his chest pressing against his heart. It's a benign tumor, and he can get it removed easily at any hospital. Thorne loses his mind, saying he can't go to a hospital because his enemies will have him killed. Thorne begs to have his brother do the surgery at his clinic, and he will get him back his medical license. Crime doctor agrees, but he needs help, and it's from somebody who won't do it voluntarily. Thorne says he'll send his thugs to go get them, and crime doctor says, alright, but I'll come along, because this is an old friend of his, and it's somebody named Leslie Tompkins. Crime doctor and the thug arrive at Leslie's clinic, and they break down the door to take her. I love that Leslie doesn't just let herself get taken, she grabs a baseball bat and tries to defend herself, and keep in mind, this is like an old woman, she's like 60-something or 60, but she's an older woman, wrinkled, gray hair, like Aunt May. And she's like, I'm not, you know, dude, you guys are gonna take me, but I'm gonna knock one of you guys out. The crime doctor walks up to a picture of Leslie and Thomas Wayne and says that he was the person who took that picture. He opens the frame and in the back it's signed, "Thanks for all the good times, my two best friends, Matt." Crime doctor is Matt Thorne, and he was best friends with Dr. Tompkins and Bruce Wayne's dad back in medical school. Leslie recognizes Matt and says that she's heard rumors about him, and from the looks of it, those rumors are true. Matt asks for Dr. Tompkins' help in the surgery, but she doesn't want to do it, and the thugs take her by force after tearing up the place. Back in the Batcave, and Batman has found a clue, one of the surgical masks that the thugs wore on the bridge comes from a company called Rose Commercial Laundry. And this is a business front for Rupert Thorne, and Batman knew that he recognized that sea captain before. Batman wonders why Thorne would need a surgical laser. We cut to Dr. Tompkins and Crime Doctor getting ready for surgery. Bruce Wayne then shows up at Dr. Tompkins' office for no reason at all. And they see that the place is a mess. I don't know if they were going to go just check up on her or check up on his prescription. But they just go. And they see the whole place is like tore up to pieces. Bruce finds the picture of his dad with the writing on the back. And Bruce looks through Dr. Tompkins' yearbook and finds a picture signed by Matt Thorne, Rupert Thorne's brother. Alfred mentions that Matt was a friend of Bruce's father and they were all close and they called themselves the Three Musketeers. So Bruce surmises that two medical-related crimes connected to Thorne in 24 hours isn't just a coincidence. Alright, so I noticed this. When Bruce is looking at this picture, it says that Matt Thorne graduated in 1902. So let's see if we can do some math here. So let's say Matt was 18 when he graduated high school. Then about 4 years of pre-med, that will make him 22. Then the 4 years of medical school, so he would have to been 26 when he graduated in 1902. He seems to be like about 55 or older now. But I'll say he's about 60, about the same age as Leslie. So that would be 38 years since he graduated in 1902. So that would mean this cartoon takes place roughly around 1940. But when did Batman debut in the real world? Batman was created in May of 1939. So that's only 1 year before. So my math is just a little bit off. But I think that this cartoon takes place on the time that Batman debuted in the comics, 1939. So I thought that was like a fun bit of trivia there. Back in the crime doctor's lab, and the surgery was a success. Crime Doctor tries to be grateful to Dr. Tompkins, but she won't even speak to him. One of Thorne's thugs tells Crime Doctor that according to Rupert Thorne's orders, Dr. Tompkins needs to be disposed of because she can squeal to the cops about where they are hiding. We see this muscular male nurse rolling Rupert Thorne when Batman shows up. How did Batman find this place? Who knows? He just did. Anyway, Batman tries to sneak around the corner, but the nurse is ready for him. And so did he just like put the unconscious recovering Rupert Thorne, like recovering from heart surgery, like in the corner of a hallway? Because we never see him again. And from what you'll see later, that nurse didn't have time to go put him in his room unless his room was right around the corner. So he probably just tossed him to the side. Who knows? So either way, at the end of this episode, we can all assume Rupert Thorne is recovering from heart surgery by laying in a hallway in like this abandoned building. So the nurse proceeds to beat the crap out of Batman, who gets punched right in the head again, causing him to get another concussion, which is really sad because then the next night on Raw, Batman had to go out in the middle of the ring and vacate his title and announce his retirement from his wrestling career due to his injuries, and it was really sad. And the sadder part was when they were leaving, Titus O'Neil grabbed Vince McMahon and he almost got fired, but instead he got suspended for 3 months. It was just like this whole mess. Anyway, Batman can't even see correctly. Like, everything's blurry. The nurse grabs some scalpels and throws them at Batman, but Batman manages to dodge this. Batman grabs this cooler, or it's like this big old metal box, and he throws it at the nurse, causing them to drop the scalpels. The nurse grabs the laser and starts shooting. Dude! Oh, we cut to another scene in the middle of this pretty cool fight, I must admit. Crime Doctor is told by the Chunky Thug that if he interferes in killing Leslie, then the deal to return his medical license is off. Crime Doctor says that he will do it his way. He will inject her with something and make it look like a heart attack, painless and quickly. So Batman is still fighting Laser Nurse, which I think is a cool villain name. Laser Nurse keeps shooting Batman, but Batman hides. Batman surprises Laser Nurse, lifts him up against the wall, and snaps his neck. What the hell? Okay. So this is how the shot is framed. Just picture this. We have a camera low, aimed at Batman and Laser Nurse's legs. Batman raises Laser Nurse high on the wall as if he was like, if you ever seen the Halloween, the original, when Michael Myers lifts up the dude by the neck and like pins him to the wall with the knife, this is what Batman's doing. He lifted up this dude by the neck against the wall. The camera doesn't follow. Then we hear a snap and Laser Nurse just falls to the ground without moving. Now, if this was just from a punch, as I'm sure many of you are rolling your eyes and saying, no, whatever, Batman doesn't kill. If it was just a punch that knocked him out, then why was it censored? If you've seen as many horror movies as I have, you will know that his neck was snapped. Anyways, back to Crime Doctor, and the thug grabs Dr. Tompkins. Crime Doctor goes to inject her, but injects a thug instead, causing him to pass out. Crime Doctor tells Dr. Tompkins he's going to help her escape because his license isn't worth somebody's life. Skinny Thug and Sea Captain Thug find the other thug passed out, and they begin to search for the doctors. So at this point, Laser Nurse is dead, Chunky Thug is passed out, and now Skinny Thug and other dude are looking. So Rupert Thorne is just in a hallway in a gurney, just lying there, recovering from heart surgery. The doctors try to escape via elevator and are shot at, but manage to get inside and head towards the roof. Why? There's only like three thugs, and one of them's already knocked out, so why not make a... One of them is knocked out, two of them are chasing after you, and you just dodge them by getting inside the elevator. Make a run for it, like on the floor level. Why do you have to go to the roof? So another elevator opens, and Batman's inside of it. He kicks Skinny Thug, knocking him unconscious, and then he throws a smoke bomb at Sea Captain. But Sea Captain uses his Sea Captain cap as a gas mask, and he gets inside the elevator. On the roof, the doctors reach the ledge. Crime Doctor jumps across to the other building and tells Dr. Tompkins to jump. She is scared, but then Sea Captain appears and starts shooting, somehow missing her. She jumps and barely makes it, grabbing onto the ledge. So wait, what was the whole point of Crime Doctor jumping first? I thought he was going to catch her, but he doesn't. She just hangs onto the ledge with her fingers. So Sea Captain gets tied up by Batman. And Crime Doctor tries to pull up Dr. Tompkins. And even though he's like a pretty huge dude, he's too weak to lift up this, what, like 110-pound lady? Probably less. She's tiny. He loses his grip and drops her, but Batman swoops in and rescues her. So, I guess time has passed. Crime Doctor's in jail, and he gets a visit from Bruce Wayne.
Bruce Wayne, Dr. Thorne. Thomas Wayne's son. Did you get my letter?
Yes. Thomas Wayne.
I told you I can help you with your legal costs. Maybe even put in a good word with the judge.
Yes, but what do you get out of it?
Well, there is something you can do for me.
I knew it. I knew there'd be a catch. Sorry, Mr. Wayne. Matthew Thorne is no longer for sale.
I'm not looking for any illegal favors.
What then?
Something you know. Something only you can give me. Tell me about my father.
So, we get that touching moment. The end. Alright, after show notes, I tried looking up stuff, but there's really no notes on this episode. It's kind of weird. It's one of the few that has absolutely nothing on it. The animation on it is okay, but not great. And that's really it. So I guess we just head to the Batcave archives.
To the Batmobile. Let's go. Atomic batteries to power. Turbines to speed.
Roger. Ready to move out.
The Batcave Archives is the part of the show where we review each episode. I'm sorry, where we rank each episode we have reviewed thus far. This is episode 65, so just a bit of a rundown. At number 1, we have Almost Got 'Em, the episode where the villains play poker. And at number 64, we have Fire from Olympus, the episode with Maxi Sues, which is, God, he's such an awful villain. Where would we rank this one? If you want to see the complete list of the Batcave Archives, go to our Facebook group, join. Our list is always posted there and updated weekly. Become part of the group. Have some fun. Alright, this episode reminds me a lot of the episode It's Never Too Late, which was one of the early episodes. It was episode number 6. And that is the episode where we learn that one of the mafia bosses, I forget his name at the moment, but he has a brother who is a priest. So this episode reminds me a lot of that, with Rupert Thorne being a mafia boss, his brother being a doctor. Yet a bit different, because this time Rupert Thorne has corrupted his brother into becoming something he doesn't want to be. Instead of the other way around, where in the other episode, the priest helps his brother become a good person. So there's a comparison to that one. This episode is more action-oriented than that one. The animation on the other one was amazing, and the story was solid and really good. This one seems a bit rushed. The animation doesn't really bother me. As I said, it's passable. There's a lot of emphasis on the action. We get that car chase in the beginning. We get that the fight with Batman and Laser Nurse is actually pretty cool. But I think there's not enough weight to the characters. I mean, yeah, we see the Crime Doctor being antagonistic toward his brother. You can kind of see that hate there, that he doesn't want to be this. But, I mean, he saves Leslie Tompkins. Yeah, he says that his license isn't worth a human life. But, I don't know, there needs to be more of a redeeming quality to him, I believe. Like, at the end, he argues with Bruce Wayne, saying, "No, I'm never going to sell out again." But, I don't know, it's just something that feels a bit rushed. I guess the characters just really weren't developed. And you can't even say that it's a lack of time, because It's Never Too Late has the same amount of time, 22 minutes, and they did amazing things with that. It's a really well-written story. It's ranked at number 14 on our list. It was ranked in the top 10 for quite a while. It's just that there's better episodes that have pulled it down a bit. This episode is kind of forgettable. I mean, as I said, I tried looking up notes for it, and I couldn't find anything. And honestly, I remembered this episode. And in my mind, it was a lot better than it actually was rewatching it. I felt that rewatching it kind of ruined some of that mystique I had with it. I remember it was like a kind of cool story that had some character developments. But looking at it, I see that was all in my mind somehow. I don't know if the comparison to It's Never Too Late was kind of putting it up that high. So I would rank this one kind of low. Maybe not bottom, because it's still a good episode. It's a solid episode. Somewhere around the middle, we have at number 35, Eternal Youth. That's the episode where Poison Ivy turns the people into trees by giving them that youth formula. That's a pretty cool episode, though. Is this episode better than... Let's rank this at the 40s. At number 40, we have Heart of Steel Part 1, the episode with the robot clones. I think that episode's pretty cool. Number 41, we have Zatanna. No, Zatanna's a really good episode. I mean, it has 40 other episodes above it, but that's only because those are so good. But Zatanna's a good episode. Birds of a Feather is probably the only good Penguin episode in this show, because they wrote Penguin as a really lame villain. And, I don't know. This one might be on par with that, actually. Right below it, we have Shadow of the Bat Part 2. That's the reveal of Batgirl. That's when she gets to be Batgirl proper. But once again, since it's a two-parter, it kind of suffers from all the cool story parts being in the first and the second part kind of just being rushed, mindless action. Number 44, The Clock King, the episode that never leaves me alone, about why I ranked it so high, because that villain sucks. Number 45, Night of the Ninja. I believe this episode is better than Night of the Ninja, and actually I think it's better than The Clock King. Is it better than Shadow of the Bat? Not really. I think this actually belongs kind of around the middle, being in a place where it's not the best episode. It's kind of forgettable, but it's once you watch it, it's not really the worst. So, yeah, we're going to rank this episode at number 44, Paging the Crime Doctor. All right, everybody, thank you for listening. And remember, if you have any questions, suggestions, or thoughts on the reviewed episodes or the show in general, send them to captain_marvelous1@yahoo.com. I have been your host, Captain Marvelous, and remember, no matter where you're from, no matter who you are, we are...
Calling Dr. Howard, Dr. Fine, Dr. Howard. Calling Dr. Howard, Dr. Fine, Dr. Howard.
It's time to make an appointment.
Scalpel.
It'll be good for your health.
Trust me, I'm a doctor.
Oh, sorry. The doctor's in. Say.
How about a free examination? Ready to take your medicine.
You think that's bad? Where do you get my bill?
I hope you have protection.
Dr. Giggles.
It's a good thing I make house calls.
Rated R.